A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. Here we are, starting a new week, and so I know everybody is always excited when they get up on Mondays. As I tell my kids, and as I even reminded them this morning, Monday, a new adventure. New adventure awaits, and here we are. So, you know, I guess the highlight, of course, is from last night. I think the shock and awe was the Super Bowl. There were many people that were gonna think that the Chiefs, as I say, my homies, was gonna pull it off, and that didn't happen. So the Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champions, and I know that you know, it's always interesting too to. Or not interesting, but just kind of funny. I chuckle at some of those commercials that they make up for the halftime show, and or not the half, but during the actual ball game. And you see some of the way marketing strategies and so on. It's always kind of like a moment where you just sit back and some more. Entertainment. So I don't know, maybe if you got to watch the game. So yeah, didn't see that one coming and how it turned out yesterday evening. But as far as like just during the weekend, we got to again see Owen Lake. He won his basketball game, and we had some time there. And then, of course, Sunday, got to go to church and help out. You know, church was yesterday was a little bit different at church. We had a elderly lady that her tire was going flat. Somebody had noticed that, and you know, we had to help her out. But you know, I often think that that's, you say, as far as like the church and what it represents, you know, the family of God there, and how we should interact with one another and being there for each other. So that was encouraging to see that. And I know she was appreciative of that. And, you know, lots of things that kind of help in the midst of when you're going through struggles. I mean, ultimately, we would always state it as that, you know, God has our back, maybe. And or as an old hymn song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But, you know, the other benefit and the other blessing that we have is knowing that we're not alone. God has allowed us to share in relationship with other people, and those interactions again, and how we get to cultivate those deeper relationships. You know, I've often stated this, and I don't have a degree or a you know, length of study that has done stats on what this turns out, but I would say just from everyday life of again, my experience in ministry, part-time, bivocational, volunteer, is that discipleship takes time. You know, people coming alongside someone and doing, as we, you know, the cliche lingo of doing life together. You know, doing life together is not just the Facebook advertisements that pop up and everybody's smiling. You know, it's also the dirty. It's the back alley. And it's a point where I think sometimes we can get a little disappointed with even how people interact or things happen with relationships. But, you know, I think the true test is staying consistent, you know, and revealing to others that you're there for them, that the representation that's that's displayed from those relationships is, again, I think it imitates the characteristic of how God is long-suffering with us. And, you know, if that's the case, then some of us probably have different backgrounds of, you know, how things happened and how God worked in our life, and we would most definitely have either different life experience from how things occurred and, you know, where we are now, and again, how God is working in our life. And that's the beauty of God's grace. Everyone's life is, you know, as a melody. Even now I'm listening to the wind chimes outside. It's so windy. I guess the cold's blowing in. But, you know, every person's life resembles a different tune, a different song. And I think that as we, you know, again, share in those times with each other, it's important for us to realize that as we walk alongside another brother or sister in Christ, and that discipleship continues to strengthen, to grow, you know, it does take time. And I would say this too, from just the interactions again with people, and especially in the church, people don't trust you. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it takes, and I'm not just saying that for everyone, but for instance, I mean, you'd say the years that you get to spend with those individuals, as it progresses, you know, people get more comfortable, and they start to understand that you're there. So the reason, I guess, the basis for my, you know, kind of going in that direction this morning is if you're in church and you're a part of a church right now, you know, I would dare say to keep being persistent in those relationships, even when it's hard, you know. Compassion again goes a long way towards other people, and I would say we probably need that more so in our churches. A lot of times there's ways in which we respond or act towards one another that doesn't always display that long-suffering attitude. And then again, I know that could also come back to say, well, Chris, you know, I have been patient. I've done this for years, and there's been, for lack of a better word, there's been no return. But we can't also have a consumeristic mentality. We're not looking for a return. We're looking for someone to get a deeper understanding of what Christ desires for their life, and especially through His Word. And we don't always do that perfectly, do we? And I say that towards even myself. It takes time. Time, and again, we would say that even like in reference to, I've said this about raising my children, you know, even through the years, there's a lot that was instilled in those moments, and persistence. And so, you know, as we endeavor in the process of discipleship, and as we endeavor in the process of loving one another, building one another up and not tearing each other down in the church, strive to do those things. Strive to give in to those tendencies of building one another up instead of tearing one another down. I mean, the world is full of that other mentality of the destruction of other people. We don't desire that in our church. So just, I guess, a side note there of where we land and how that comes together, how that basically mixes, if you will, in our relationship with one another in our churches. And I think that when people see that through that process of time, and they get to know you better, and they know that they can trust you, I think it helps. And I think it also gives glory to God and what he desires to reveal to other people, and especially to his bride. So we'll move on into James. We're going into James chapter 3. And this morning, we're just going to read a couple verses here. The tongue is a fire. Here we go. James chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. You know, we had an opportunity, Reagan and I, our family, where Reagan's pawpaw, we lived with him for probably almost 8-9 years. I can't remember. And then he had passed, and, you know, he was in his 90s, and he was a World War II veteran. I guess to basically kind of comment on his character or his traits was, for me, a gentle soul. I'd say he was sincere. I remember when Reagan and I were first married, I had our first house. I mean, this was back in, like I said, the early 2000s, 2001, 2002. And, you know, our pawpaw was, he was older. And so we had to fix some drain lines. And he actually got underneath there with me. And so we got it straightened out. But I always admired his explanation of how he involved himself at work. He worked with Wick's Filters for a very long time. And he told me one time, he said, you know, I would have people come into the office, and he would say that, you know, they would want to have some type of, you know, process in which they were going to go over some work or something to be done. And he said, you know, back then it was pretty much kind of a handshake and a, you know, a word. Your spoken word would be the actual agreement, if you will. You know, no written contract where it had to be notarized and dated. And so, you know, I think as I listened to him describe his times of, you know, of however that was communicated when he was in the workspace, it was almost like you were envious. You were envious of those times where you could actually take somebody at their word. And now we live in a culture and a society, and, you know, I think people, maybe their intentions mean well to some point or degree, but it's almost like you can't, or there's a little bit of reservation on that someone's speaking or talking about something. And it's, you know, especially when we'd say with business, I mean, you know, there may be some interactions that still go down that way. But the majority of time, we would say that there are contracts and agreements that have to be written up just for legality purposes, right? And so I thought about that as, you know, I was reading this passage here, but, you know, and then, of course, it'll go on further speaking about the tongue. But I think when James is saying that not many of you should become teachers, again, he points to the stricter judgment. But then he also gives reference to how that is implied towards the individual and them being consistent with what they're saying and what they're stating. And he says, for we all stumble in many ways. So we all make mistakes, right? But then he says, for anyone who does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And, you know, I think it does take a lot for teachers, for those who represent, you know, you have to be careful how you say things. But again, and what we would kind of look at now is that the adoration of those who come across on media outlets or podcasts, like even now, or whatever may be the scenario that we have time to listen to, it's to some degree it's almost the quite opposite of that. It's just I would describe it as maybe just thoughtless, and to some point when it comes to the way in which that's communicated about something or someone, and well, there may even be a narrative there. But you know, I think it's a reminder for us that as we think about those who are in leadership positions or those who teach, usually those who teach, you know, be careful about how things are communicated. But then also, not only the fact that it's, you know, giving us direction to see the importance of how we are communicating, but then also towards the implication of how we actually live and the constraint that we have towards our actions, and then how that is shown in our everyday life. So, you know, going back to what Reagan's Pawpaw said about the handshake and a word, you know, I would probably say there was a time in America where people probably did interact in a different way, where you know, would say that by their actions, right? Or what we have heard so many times, actions speak louder than words. And I would think that that's the significance of the Christian faith, is that so many times we look at people that we admire, and maybe they have great insight and they're very knowledgeable and they teach and they speak well. But you know, for us, the greatest teacher we have is Jesus. And if we look at his life and we see the theme that basically is resembled through Scripture, I would say that as a teacher, these two verses pretty much were very true of how he demonstrated himself amongst those that he dwelt among. I mean, think of it in the context of, again, if you would compare the Christian faith to other religions seem to place an importance on striving to get to a certain point, as I've stated in the past, like you're at the bottom of this mountain. And so you're striving to get to the top, to where God is. However that may be, either by works or, you know, more prayer, more meditation, however that may come across. But the reality for the Christian faith is that God, through his love for this world, as John 3:16, his Son came down and rescued me. And so how that moves and stirs within us is to give us a clearer picture of how teachers and how those who proclaim and work in the church should be. They should strive after the greatest teacher, and that is Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, I am so disappointed when I look on sources that have been shared with me, because like I said, I'm not on social media, but sometimes people will share things with me that have been either put on X or whatever those platforms are. And you know, there's a lot of back and forth, and you know, you look at these people and they've got like thousands of followers. And I know that we could get into a big discussion about the justification for the arguments, right? But going back to what I read the other day, I mean, what's the point of that? Who are we here to glorify, ourselves or God? And to him be the glory. And we would say, I know that's a neutral statement, but I think we should strive. And I think that's the reason why James is saying this, is be careful for those who will teach, for you will be held to a stricter judgment. Because there are many people that are listening to what you say. That has a deeper impact. And so I look at it in some context again and say, is what I am speaking and how I am interacting with people, you know, pointing them to Christ? That's it. Is my life pointing people to Christ? And I think that's where we have to come to some understanding. So as we would work and do, and as I said, Monday is a new opportunity maybe for us to consider that. You know, maybe not all of us are teachers, but even if we're not, we can take some lesson from what James is stating. And as again, we'll go on through this chapter and it starts giving more details about the tongue, about our words. As we would say that, I would hope for us, we would again consider that truth. Consider the truth of what James is implying here. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris. I look forward to talking to you again soon.